Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Players Only with Chiefs Radio Network color analyst Danan Hughes.
Nice slant route. This is a business decision. You know you're going to take a lump.
And former linebacker Sean Barber.
There's a thing called street justice. You take care of yours. Yeah. You take care of your family, take care of your chicken, take care of your money.
On your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
What's going on, everybody, in the Chiefs Kingdom? We are back. Players Only, after a week off for Thanksgiving, we are back in the building. Hope everyone had a happy and blessed Thanksgiving holiday, as well as a Chiefs bye week, as we come to you each and every week on Thursday night, 6 to 7. Sean Barber, former linebacker with the Kansas City Chiefs, who is on a potty break right now. Timing of linebackers. Julio, doesn't make any sense. He just continues to give me more ammunition on him on purpose, I think, at this point. He's just trying to keep me on his toes. But Barbershop is in the building. He's taking a potty break. And I am Danan Hughes, former wide receiver with the Kansas City Chiefs. And Players Only is brought to you each and every week by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. We have the Jay Southland Toast Service text line open, 913-576-7610. Please make sure you call in, text in. We will be fielding as many calls and text messages as possible. We get a lot of traffic each and every week, and we love it. We would love to hear from the fans, especially without having a game last week. There's really not much to recap. We'll talk a little bit about the Cowboys game, the fourth win for this Chiefs team in a row. But I'm kind of feeling like we may go to the text line and the phone line, not just in the third quarter as we do every week, but maybe a little bit into the second quarter as well. I've been feeling a little bad that we haven't been able to tackle each and every text or phone call over the past weeks. That can be a good problem, but I want to hear from the fans in the Chiefs Kingdom. We got a lot to celebrate. We got a lot to be thankful for after this Thanksgiving holiday, after this bye, with four straight wins under our belt, atop the AFC West, with two consecutive home games coming up and three consecutive AFC West opponents in the next three games. So a lot to chop up once Barbershop gets off the potty and we can talk about it. But before he gets in here, let's recap the Cowboys game. My perspective of that Cowboys win. It was a great win for the Chiefs. One, sometimes teams get into a lull before a bye week. Guys are looking forward to the extended break that they hadn't had since early July. And you can fall by the wayside. And I give credit to Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, Eric Bieniemy, Dave Tobe for getting these players' minds right and focused, especially over that four-week stretch. The fact that they took on teams in the NFL, we've seen the Jacksonville Jaguars stumble into wins. We've seen the Jets stumble into wins. We've seen even the Detroit Lions stumble into a tie and probably should have had two or three wins as well. It does not matter how bad your record is. It does not matter where you are in regards to youth at the quarterback position, the most important position in all of sports. Each and every week, on any given Sunday, anything can happen. And I detest the fans or so-called fans or the detractors that negated wins against the Giants, wins against the Raiders, wins against an Aaron Rodgers-less Packers team, and made it seem like we were playing the Sisters of the Poor or a Division II college football team. We played another NFL team each and every week, and we got four straight wins, and we are significantly better than we were in the beginning of the season. Wins are precious at the NFL level, and the Chiefs stepped up on prime time and got it done. We got Barbershop back in the building. Hopefully you washed your hands, did everything. You got a napkin in front of them. The napkin in front of you doesn't really help.
It's wet.
That just to let you know, if the napkin soap, is with you.
With soap. I just didn't throw it in the trash because I used it to open the doorknob after I finished. Listen, I'm COVID friendly, bro.
Thanks for joining us 5 minutes late. We appreciate you. Julio, you know, Julio's got more patience than me. You know, I'm used to defensive guys being late.
I've been here since 4:25, going back and forth trying to Rafiki, my man C-Dot, and give him some insight. So excuse me, I didn't take a break in between. I'm hydrated. I stay hydrated. I want to keep my immune system high, so I stay hydrated. So, yes, I had to go, you know.
I want to hear from the text line. How many people out there besides me and Julio are disappointed in Barbershop not being on time for this show?
I was 2 hours.
The Jay Southland Toll Service text line, 913-576-7610. Callers, texters, you know if I was late, Barbershop would take the whole first segment and part of the second segment to skewer me on the airwaves. But I want to hear from the fans.
Not true. Not true.
You talk. Oh, man, I just listened to the show last week, the last show we had, and you had me stumbling through the first segment because you questioned my offensibility. Call me a special teams guy.
You took that as a negative, and that's what you don't know the heart. You don't know me. Like, we don't have no trust between me and you. I can tell that right
None?
Now because no, we don't. Because
I trusted you be here at 5:59.
In my heart, if you understood me and my path, you realize special teams to me are the most courageous warriors there are. That's the phase that is underappreciated.
Julio, get my violin.
Not valued. I was a part. I'm a four phase special teams player. I played as many snaps as special team. I didn't own the like. I have a passion in my heart for guys that go out there and play.
That's not the tone you said it.
Tip of the spear.
That's not the tone he said it in, Julio. He's trying to clean it up. He had a good Thanksgiving. We got another win since then. He got some turkey. He got some collard greens and some dressing in him, and he's feeling more thankful than he was before the Thanksgiving holiday. That's what it is.
AFC Player of the Month. Special teams.
Tommy Townsend,
man. We
TNT.
We pre-called that. We let him know the importance of special teams. He went out there and did his thing. Everybody heard what we was talking about, man.
We got the text line open. I'm going to tackle this one right now. I'm with Shop.
Exactly.
From the 816. 913, I'm not disappointed with Sean Barber.
You know what?
What in the world?
These are P1. These are priority listeners who've been with us probably on the drive since they got off their hard week.
The reason why you were late, because you texted a few cats to say, text in and support me, please.
Nah,
I'll buy you lunch. That's what you did?
The eye in the sky when it comes to football don't lie. And the text line don't lie. The
text line called me a snitch.
Oh. Mm.
So?
That's a personal thing.
Hey, I'm a snitch on a defensive guy every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
I still don't understand why you got this. You draw this line in the sand against offense and we're all the same, man. We play for the same team. We have played for the same team under different coaches, but man,
it's different. You know it's different. Don't even try it. You trying to play like the middle of the line right now. Good cop, bad cop. No, you know doggone well now, whether you're on the same team or not.
So
defensive guys are different than offensive
guys.
Let's
be real. Have you played any significant amount of defense?
Significant amount?
Yes, like growing up. Were you always an offensive player or did you play
No, I played both ways, played safety, linebacker.
Okay, you made a decision.
Yeah, right? I smartened up.
You made a decision.
I made a smarter move.
I played running back, wide receiver. I played cornerback, corner.
So you couldn't catch?
Safety.
So you couldn't catch, so you went to defense?
And then I moved my way down. No, man, it was the potential to play. When I was at the University of Richmond, I was the number 6 wide receiver.
Number 6. That was your jersey number on the depth chart?
I was the depth chart. Coming in, I mean, I'm a freshman. Coming in as a freshman, I was a 6 wide receiver. I knew I wasn't going to play in the game. And then when I went into my sophomore year, all the secondary guys graduated. And coach said, hey, we're going to bring some guys in. You already part of the program. If you guys want to step up, you want some playing time, this is the way to find it. Go over there with Coach Hansen and learn how to backpedal, break up, and break plays up. You already know the route tree. So just go over there and be DBs.
So I was listening to the show when I was coming in on time or early, and I heard you say on CDOT's show, what was the defense? Like, everybody went out for wide receiver, and then the ones who couldn't catch, what'd they do?
Yeah, the ones that couldn't catch and had some heart and won't scare.
You didn't say all that. No, you didn't say all that. You didn't say all that.
You know what I mean?
Let's go back to the tape of CDOT's show, Carrington Harrison's show that comes on right before us. You didn't say all that. Don't try to embellish now. You said the guys who couldn't catch that went out for wide receiver, where'd they go?
Because it was an offensive
driven. You didn't say all that.
High school and college, it's all about offense, putting up points. Every coach trying to get to the next level, the next step, using programs as stepping stones. Let me put all the greatest athletes on offense. Every once in a while that we'll get a turnover. We ain't worried about who on defense. Every program does that up until you get to the pros. We know that. Well, my abilities.
Why are you stuttering?
My ability transcended on both sides of the ball. I was given the option.
You didn't say all this. See, I was just asking a simple question.
I was given the option.
A simple question. What'd you say 15, 20 minutes ago when I was sitting in my car before you took your potty break? What did you say to CDOT about defense?
That was a different question. That was a whole different question. That was a subject matter.
One of the breaks, I'm going to get Julio to pull it up.
Next topic. Julio ain't got the code. Rob got his stuff on code. You got encrypted. It's an encrypted code he got to pull up anything from the drive. So,
all right. So we got, before we go into break, we got to at least talk about the Cowboys' victory. It seems like it was about 5 weeks ago.
It was,
since the Chiefs played. They won their fourth straight. I kind of gave a little bit of a pre-assessment of what I thought about that game. I guess we got James from Joplin on the line. We're going to make an exception for you, James, before we Barbershop his assessment of this Cowboys win. We're going to go to the phone lines. This is a post-bye, post-Thanksgiving exception. We'd normally wait until the Time's Yours segment in the third quarter. But, James, what you got?
Hey, I appreciate that, Dana. I guarantee you. And, you know, but I do take exception to, you know, you calling out the fans of the Chiefs. It's like, man, we buy merchandise. We suffer through the heartbreak. We do the sweating and the losses and the wins and everything else, man. But who you're calling out should be the ones that are the analysts and stuff, not us. It's like
how did I call you out?
We went to the Super Bowl, dude.
Yeah.
We won three championship games and everything else. We expected better, dude. And Mahomes himself said 20-0, bro. He built us up. And then you're calling us out for being disappointed because, I mean, you know, look at what happened. We almost lost to the Jets. We won by 3 points. Come on, to the Jets or the Giants, I mean. It's like, come on, man. And, you know, Rodgers wasn't even in the game. We could have done a lot better in that game, too. I mean, it's not, you know, rocket science to figure out that they wasn't doing very good. And yet, we're detractors or bad fans. I'm not a bad fan. I'm just saying what I see is obvious, you know, observations.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, James. Appreciate the comments. I don't know if I dissed the Chiefs fans, but let's be real. There are a faction of people that are fair weather, that jump on and off the boat, and there's a difference between being disappointed and skewering a team and setting up what they set up a petition to bench Pat Mahomes. They, you know, you're talking about Andy Reid, maybe moving on. I mean, all this stuff, you go to peaks and valleys. Those are the fans or the followers. I guess I shouldn't call them fans. The followers of football who I am against. If you're with them, be with them. If you're against them, be against them. I will always be against the Raiders. I might say a nice thing here or there, but I'm always going to be against the Raiders. If the Chiefs are playing like garbage, which we've seen that during the Todd Haley era, we've seen that when the defense didn't make any stops in 2003. And, oh, my bad, Barbershop, you was on that team. you know, we've seen We've seen bad football, even going into the 90s when we couldn't make when we couldn't win playoff games. I'm going to throw myself some shade.
I'm just saying, James comes after you, and then you want to throw me, my name in there with my 03 defense.
I caught myself.
I'm a proud member of the 2003 defense that led the NFL in turnovers that year. And yards allowed. See, I start with the good stuff.
There was a pregnant pause. I was waiting for it. I'll let you do it. But okay. I appreciate the call, James. I was not trying to diss the Chiefs Kingdom. I know how strong we are. But let's face it. Let's be real. There are some Fairweather fans, followers, if you want to call them, that just want to jump in and out of the boat and not really ride the waves. Mm. So that's my feeling. I'm going to stick to it.
All anything I ask is, guys, stop selling the lower level tickets. Because when I'm down there and I'm looking around that lower bowl and I see half, we can talk about
Dallas Cowboys.
Game.
Yeah,
it was
a lot of blue.
Man, if it wasn't half and half, I don't know what it was, because every other fan down there looked like they had a star on their hat. And Pat trying to run the offense, I'm looking around like, hey, Chiefs fans, you got to quiet down because the offense at work. And then I look around, it ain't the Chiefs fans, it's the Cowboys fans, and it sounded almost as loud as the Chiefs fans.
Yeah, it was rough.
It was rough, but listen, at the end of the day, we know, listen, man, economics is economics. If somebody's going to pay you 10 times the amount for the same ticket, and that's going to pay for the whole season.
Yep.
It's hard to knock a guy for his hustle. So, hey, man, we appreciate y'all. Yep. Hopefully the next game we can expect that sea of red to be all red.
I'm still kicking myself from 2013 not buying Royals tickets before that 14 and 15 run. Still kicking myself. So I feel for you out there, Chiefs fans. Well, we are done with the first quarter, players only. Barbershop, stay in your seat. Put your seatbelt on. Don't go nowhere. We're going to be back in the second quarter. We're going to tackle some more of these text messages as well as calls. Make sure you get in, 913-576-7610. And we're going to leave the time to you.
To be honest, you know, in high school, all skilled players go out as wide receivers, and then the ones that can't catch get moved over to DB.
Go to defense.
I mean, that's the nature of any coach, right? You're not going to take great receivers and make them play defense and let your offense suffer. It's an offensive-driven league all the way through until you get to the pros.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber, Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
And we're back, Players Only, second quarter. Barbershop is on time. He's in his seat. And I am Danan Hughes. And for you listeners that were out there that listened to the end of the first quarter, you received confirmation of exactly what I shared about Barbershop. That's why he's being conveniently silent right now, because he's having egg all over his face. That's all right. You know, we know defensive guys.
Said what I said, Craig. Okay. I said what
I said. Friday reference. There you go.
I said what I said.
All right. Each and every week, each and every segment is brought to you by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help. Turn it into your next pursuit. We have the Jay Southland Tow Service text line open and the phone lines open. 913-576-7610. Before we get to tackle the texts and the calls, before we go into the Times Yours segment, the extended Times Yours segment post-bye, Barbershop, I want to talk about the bye week and specifically your experiences. Now, we remember there was a bye that happened for another team, the New York Giants, a favorite of some of my friends back in Jersey. And Odell Beckham Jr., Cruz, several of the wide receivers with Timberlands on, jeans, in Miami, on a boat, on a bye week before a playoff game. Did not bode well after that for them, and probably since then. What's your experience with the bye week? How did Coach Vermeil and your other coaches handle it? And what's the wildest thing that you did during your bye week?
Man, well, I'm a pretty straight and narrow, you know, razor edge sharp cut guy. So I kind of just worked out and rest and recovered during the bye week. But I can't account for all my teammates. But
since you are able to hold in your smile while you say that, t- tell us what another teammate did. Well, what you heard through the grapevine.
I heard through the grapevine. But so first of all, Coach Reed. Coach Reed is a guy that actually respects your time. He always believes you need to get away to reset. Every athlete is asked to give so much focus between those white lines when you're on the field every day. From you get to the facility to when you got to go home, he wants you to be laser focused on your job, how to become a better football player to help the team win. To do that week after week after week, he understands it's a grind. So when you have that bye week, he encourages guys to get away. Don't watch football. Don't think about it. Come back with a renewed resilience and a new new passion for the game. Like, come back with a uber focus of how are we going to finish the year, go to the playoffs, win. Like, it's all about the next. How are we going to have a better second half than first half? Coach Vermeil was a little bit different. He was an advocate of the only way to get better at football is to practice football, and that only happens on the field together. 3-hour-long practices. So he utilized every day possible of the bye week. I think we came back after a game. We had our victory Monday, our day off Tuesday. We practiced Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Obviously shorter practices, but I'm still practicing all the way until the end of the week. And then I think he actually had a Saturday walkthrough, and then we actually had to kind of, he wanted us to kind of get in the rhythm of waking up and kind of getting yourself ready for football on Sunday, even though we didn't play a game, because he didn't want us to have to knock off rust coming back from the bye week. So two different perspectives, two different ways to go about it. Obviously, I enjoyed the I enjoyed a getaway, reflect about, some things, the rest and recovery over the showing up at the facility every day to do a 10-10-10 type practice. But I got to admit, the fellowship and the camaraderie here in Kansas City with Coach Vermeil was at an all-time high. We had guys who would stick around hours after practice was over and playing dominoes and cards and shooting pool. Doing those things to become a tighter-knit group. And there are times that does pay off on the field, that extra camaraderie and stuff like that. Nowadays, I wouldn't know. I mean, I haven't been in the locker room in 20 seasons or so. So I would think that mostly players now are very transient. They just, once the practice is over, they shower as quick as possible, and then they're off doing their on their esports or on their getting their game taglines going and in virtual reality and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know what guys do now with the bye week. So that's kind of how I took care of my business.
Yeah, the bye week was unique for me. I obviously only played under one coach with Marty Schottenheimer, and he didn't believe in extended breaks. Very similar to Coach Vermeil, probably the old school mindset, but a little bit more relaxed, especially after Joe Montana got here. I believe that he and Joe had a sit down at some point, because there were some things that guys will tell you about pre-Joe that Marty, how he ran his practices versus post, even training camp. We had a home run derby during training camp. We had a golf, a target golf type of deal during training camp to break up the monotony. Those are things that were unheard of for Marty in the late 80s, early 90s, before Joe came in. And Joe kind of said, hey, this is what we're doing in San Francisco. This is kind of what, the coaches did, Seifert did, and so on. Mm-hmm. And, it just kind of endears itself to, team unity, a more relaxed environment, giving guys a break, and so on. So we had a home run derby my rookie year that I won. And
you got drafted by an MLB team. You should win a home run derby versus
that is true,
players.
Especially when he put money on the table. He said it was $500 for the winner. So then I started stretching and loosening up. But then for the bye week, Marty didn't believe in giving us extended breaks. So he would give us 2 days off, 1 day on, 1 day off, 2 days on, then two off. So it was like you couldn't really go anywhere. You couldn't really do the Giants thing and go down to Miami Beach or anything like that. I think I remember several years ago, the Cowboys had a bye, and Tony Romo and Jason Witten were out with their significant others in Mexico or something during the season. Like, that type of schedule doesn't allow itself to be like that. But I do agree. I think Andy Reid handles it well. And that's kind of the aura around this organization and around this team since Andy took over 9 years in. It's always been, you always hear him talk about, I want our players to have their personality. I want them to be them. So when you establish that kind of aura around your team, guys kind of fit in line. Now, there's always going to be the one outlier here or there that might get in trouble or might push the envelope a little bit. But for the most part, you're going to have the leaders understanding the matter at hand, what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it, how they're supposed to take care of their body. And then most importantly, especially where we are now, how you put yourself in a position as you come upon this game against the Broncos for first place, that you are going to put yourself in the best position to be able to present your production on the field at its best.
Yep.
And that's what I think in the Chiefs kingdom we got to appreciate is that we have a coach, we have a GM, we have an owner that all are on the same page. You don't hear guys complaining about like a Tom Coughlin, 5 minutes early is on time, and fining guys for not being early enough. You don't have that. Now, they won Super Bowls, and I get it, but that's, you know, that's not the
reason why.
That's not the reason why. Yeah. And you have an organization that lends itself to guys, you can stand on the sideline and start dancing. You know what I mean? You can rile up the crowd the way you want. You can do your post-touchdown dances and your post-sack dances. You can do all that. We're not trying to restrict you from who you are. Travis Kelce with his swag on the field. And then when you lean into bye weeks and extended time off and you'll have a Thursday night game, so then you'll have another week of an extended break and what they're going to be able to do after that. I think we've put ourselves in a position where we're playing as good a football as we have played all season. We've won four straight games. We're very successful after a bye under Andy Reid throughout his career.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have three straight AFC West opponents coming up.
If you want to understand the mindset behind Andy Reid, it's probably best explained by have respect for yourself, have respect for the organization, have respect for your teammates. Don't do anything to dishonor any of those three subjects. And then when it comes time to having off time or what time you're going to show up for work, don't do anything inside this building or outside this building that's going to distract your teammate from accomplishing his mission. And do what he needs to do to focus and prepare. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
Some guys they can play video games. Some guys can play. Some guys can do other things. Some guys need to be in their locker studying their playbook. Some guys need to be watching film. You don't want to be a guy in the film room chatting it up in the back, so the guy who's actually trying to watch the film has to turn around and say, "Hey, come on, guys! Like, what's going on?"
Yeah.
You don't want to be the guy. Hey, coach. You know, I need so and so to stop listening to his music, because I'm over here going through my plays and I can't really focus on my plays. So it was always to have a respect for the overall productivity of the team, allowing and understanding how your neighbor, your teammate, everybody has their own way, respecting that, and not letting any of your own ambitions or your own pursuits affect your teammates'
preparation. Or usurp the teammates' ultimate goal.
Always, always.
All right, we at halftime now. Players only. I see you, Big Jax, Big T, and CJ on the phone lines. We're going to get to you in a Time's Yours segment, third quarter, as well as the text line. So when we come back, let's get with the Time's Yours guys. Let's get with our guys.
Time's Yours.
We'll see you in a few.
This is Players Only with Damon Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Halftime's over. Players Only. Barbershop in his chair. I am Damon Hughes. And we got the phone lines and the text line is open, 913-576-7610. As promised each and every week, third quarter is...
Time's Yours.
Time's Yours segment. We got Big Jax, Big T, and CJ. We're going to get to you guys pretty quickly because we still got some texts to tackle as well. Big Jax, what you got?
Dane, what's up, brother? How you living?
What's going on, bro?
Oh, man, I'm good. Barbershop killing it as always.
Oh, Big D, you my man. That's what I'm talking about, Big Jax.
No doubt. Hey, I just want to say, man, to the fan that called in earlier, you know, and I one of the reasons I love this show because it is players only, and so it's always great to have you guys' perspective, you know, out here and no filter. But I think that it also can show you how you, as a player, view fans in a certain way. And so I'll just say this: as a fan, anybody that would start a petition to bench Patrick Mahomes is not really a Chiefs fan.
Amen.
It's either a troll or a Raiders fan or a fan of some other team who just want to see Pat on the bench. Like, nobody that knows anything about Chiefs football is trying to bench Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, at the same time, I think the fans can be too sensitive to, you know, if there's somebody out there that's representing them in that way, that could happen. But, you know, I just think it's good to understand that any real fans ain't said no crazy mess like that. And so, as a player, and I know that's hard to do, there are fans who truly understand what needs to be done and understand the game, and maybe not at your level, but they do have an understanding. They're not going to do stupid stuff like that. So that's all I want to say, man. I appreciate y'all's time, bro.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Big Jax. Totally agree. I think there are fans out there that stretch a limit. And to me, I don't know if you are part of a petition, whether during this season, earlier this season, or whatever, that to bench Patrick Mahomes. Like, how do you even enjoy football? Because you have the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs, so high and so low that's what you come up with after a few games losing and a few interceptions. I just, like, there's no enjoyment. Like, I think you have to reevaluate if that's the way you can enjoy the game. But we appreciate the call. Big T, what you got, man?
Hey, you guys. Hey, Dana and Barbershop, thanks for taking my call. It's good to hear a player's perspective on the bye. I like what you brought up, Dana, about getting your mind right. You know, we all know the physical part of the game, but you got to get your mind right. You got to see where you're at the division. You got to see where you're at maybe getting the number one seed and then keep rolling. And then the ultimate goal is that Super Bowl. So I like how you bring that perspective. And what better person to do that is Andy Reid. Hell yes. But I would also like to talk a little bit about some of our fans. Dana was right. If that sends anybody out there, you must be the one that acted like that, calling for Andy Reid's head, calling for Brett Veach, saying our quarterback, you got that Nimrod from Lenexa calling in Bink Show. You should bring in Henny for a quarter. No, shut up. If I heard you say that and I was out in public, I'd punch you right in the mouth. The one, the damn thing you could do about it. That fan is a Charger loser or a punk ass Raider fan or a Donkey fan. And you know, I heard the C-Dot show. You know, we got to go out and beat Bronco Billy's asses. Hell yes. Because even on his show, he's talking to their guys out there, and they're saying regardless of what that coach does, he's going to be fired at the end of the year. Does anybody out there think the Broncos are going to beat us and a team to move forward when they're talking like that? Oh, hell no. Hell double no. Let's go out and beat Bronco Billy's ass on Sunday. And as always, let's go Chiefs. Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo.
Big T, my man, coming in strong with the hell to the double no. Just don't get it twisted. It wasn't just a no. It was the double no. Yep. That's when he caught my – I was kind of flowing with him. I liked his energy and everything. Big T, appreciate the call.
Absolutely.
But he said what needs to be said at the end of the day. We ain't calling for nobody's head. We know this organization is tight. They all in the same direction. They all on the same page, whether we like it or not, and whether we know what the page is. They all moving in the same direction. They building it from the ground up every season.
I'm stealing that tag, Big T. I'm stealing it.
The choo-choo.
Hell to the double no.
Oh, to the double no.
Hell to the double no. CJ, what's going on?
Yeah, Big T, man, I love when you do that, Big T, because Big T always switch my buttons to get me riled up, man. Hell to the double no. Let's go back to when the Broncos beat us. NBT, much love. And you two gentlemen, Mr. Hughes and Mr. Shop, receivers' lives matter. Let me say that. Hey, man, the last time they beat us, they actually beat us twice within 3 weeks off a bye.
Is that the Jamal Charles game?
Yeah, that was a Jamal Charles fumble.
And they had Peyton, and they got us on the double up. And speaking of the double up, they got these rings back to back, and they got they three. We need that three, and we need that double up, that back to back.
Oh yeah.
So I wanted to ask the players only, who do y'all think is the historically best
team in the division. I'm so hyped up for this game. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, brother. Appreciate the call. Best team in this division historically? I don't know. I mean, you got windows of time in the 90s when it was the Broncos and the 80s when it was the Raiders. In the 2000s, you know, you can maybe say Broncos, Chiefs.
If I had my own line to look up who got the most championships, I guess it'd just come down to rings. Who got the most world champions?
I'd say the Raiders probably.
Right, the AFC championships and stuff like that, you know, overall, you just got to look at that. But as of right now, who's got the, you know, if you ask me over the next decade from 21 to 31, where are the teams projected? There is no team with a greater projection than the Chiefs right now.
No.
And it starts and ends with Pat Mahomes and talks to Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Frank Clark. Hopefully we can get Ingram here on long term. And then we got some young guns. We talked about the youth movement that Brett Veach has entered into with this organization, all the young guns that you got. So Ward and McCole Hardman and all the young guys they got playing, the Feltons of the world, and
offensive line as well.
Yeah, the whole offensive line. So this, I mean, it's a bright future sprinkled in with some savvy vets and some extremely, extremely talented offensive and defensive players.
All right, let's go to line three. CJ, what you got? CJ, you still there?
Oh no, this is Dan from Texas.
Oh, what's up,
how
Dan?
Hey, Ben, how you doing, boy? Sean, I just got back from Salvation Army Bellring, that bell ring today at the Legends, and now I'm going to get to it now. I think the Chiefs will win by 2 touchdowns, but the Broncos have been talking, the players have been talking, so I think it'll be by 4 touchdowns. And I'd like to tell you something, Ben. What do you think is going to happen to Russell Wilson? Everybody's saying that he's going to go to the Giants, and I say that he might stay with the Seahawks. And do you think Pete Carroll will retire?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dan. I don't think Pete Carroll's going to retire. You know, he's older in age, but he's probably one of the more youthful-looking coaches. And, you know, I think the egos and the successes of the past don't lend itself to guys retiring going on, you know, out on a downslope for the most part. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what their problem is. I know, Barbershop, you talked about some of the things you saw in Russell Wilson maybe looking a little shook out there on the field. And, you know, for Tyler Lockett and, you know, that great organization, John Schneider, who used to be here with the Chiefs, hopefully they can turn it around. You know, we hope the best for those guys. Jamaican Ken, what you got?
What's up, fellas? I'm better you.
Hey, what's going on?
Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Yes, we did. I hope you had a blessed one as well.
Yeah, man, some jerk chicken was good. Mm. Hey, listen, just want to give, you know, the fans a heads up that November and December is to remember. That's how the Chief always bring the swag on. So we've been down this road before, 6-4. And so we know we're going to the Super Bowl. So if y'all ain't got y'all a ticket yet, y'all better get your ticket because Mahomes is taking us there. And just remember, as Mahomes said, remember, if you don't see a play, throw the ball away.
There you go. I like it. Jamaican Ken, that's my man. Actually, Jamaican Ken works out at the stadium. I get to see him every time we go out there. So we appreciate the support. Appreciate the convo when we get out there as well. We got the text line. Let's 913 from the 913. Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the best team in the NFL. Tom Brady intimidates everybody. Tom Brady is the GOAT. I'll give it to him. But I'm not sure if that's the best team. We'll see. You know, that's a good thing. We'll see. They've had some stretches of ups and down, up and down play. So we'll see. From the 913, do you guys think D. Williams' role will go back to what it was at the beginning of the year? Barbershop?
I mean, I would think that would be a good thing. I mean, Clyde Helaire is he's a young guy, a young budding star. I think before he was injured, he was coming off back-to-back games with 100-yard-plus net yardage. So yeah, now that he's healthy, I would love to see him get back to that primary running back role. And I think it lets D. Williams fits back into his third down goal line carries. Everybody has a role to play. And I think when you talk about the one thing, if we look at the Chiefs team, there's been a lot of teams in the AFC that took some bad losses. They've had some bad weeks, up and down play. It's a game of attrition. You got to be able to be healthy at the end of the season. And the way you can do that is to have
running backs by committee, to have different pages, different phases of your offense. It shouldn't have to have one receiver have double-digit targets every game just for you to win. Because we can target Kelce, then target Hill, then use both of them as decoy and go with Miko, and now we have Gordon on there. And then we can supplement running game through the screen game and inside. It's so many different ways for this offense to move the ball down the field. First down, then score touchdowns and field goals. It keeps everybody fresh and alive so we can finish the season strong. And I think that's what you want to do.
Absolutely. Well, that's the end of the third quarter and the Time's Yours segment. We appreciate everybody calling in and texting. We may get a chance to tackle a few more texts. But in the fourth quarter, we're going to talk about this upcoming game against the Denver Broncos. Some keys to victory, what we expect to see in this game, maybe a little bit of a recap from the bye week and what we've seen up until this bye week to get ready for this final stretch.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Fourth quarter, we got the four fingers in the air, Players Only. As we wind down this show, Barbershop, Sean Barber and I am Danan Hughes. And each and every show is brought to you by U.S. Bank. Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help. Turn it into your next pursuit. We appreciate everybody participating in the Time's Yours segment.
Time's Yours.
That was great to hear from the Chiefs fans and the Chiefs kingdom. But as we wind down, Barbershop, we got a game coming up against the Donkeys.
Yeah, man, let's get to it. It's the Donkeys.
The hated Broncos.
Man, I mean, at the end of the day, man, like I said, defensively, I think they got some young playmakers. Two young linebackers that kind of remind me of our two young linebackers, Young and Browning. Those guys go sideline to sideline. Like they hit. They get there with a purpose. But because they're young, they can sometimes guess wrong. They get taken on a lot of misdirection plays. They take a lot of missteps. And they are exposed a lot of time in their zone coverage by a quarterback who has good eyes. We have a quarterback that has some of the greatest eyes with his no-look passes, being able to manipulate your zone drops. And that's what the Broncos, I feel like, been living on. A very sticky zone. They call it match man technique, where they start off in a zone, and then as you flow through it, they kind of morph into a man to kind of try to confuse a quarterback. There's nothing that this defense does that Pat hasn't seen before, and we have answers to everything they've been throwing at us. So if you allow it to be some one-on-one type effort attitude things where it's 50-50 balls being thrown up, if you allow teams to come peanut punch the ball out and create turnovers and that kind of thing, then the game is going to be a lot closer than it needs to be. But I think the reason historically, since Andy Reid has got here and gone against Coach Vic and gone against this Broncos defense, he's had answers for everything they've done defensively, and it usually ends up the Chiefs scoring a lot more points and scoring very quickly, moving up the field methodically almost in scoring points. So hopefully we'll see some of that. On the back end, we got to keep that safety, Justin Simmons, out of the mix. We got to keep the young, budding Pat Surtain Jr. No more pick sixes for him this season, especially against us, since we got to face him twice. But he's a young star. He's a good one too, man. He's gonna be a really probably a thorn in the side of the Chiefs kingdom for a while to come. He's a good corner. But not taking anything away from them individually, just as a team, I don't know if they do enough collectively to come out of Arrowhead with a win.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the Chiefs are playing better football right now. A lot of question marks still with the Broncos. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't do a lot of great things, but he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. They are a team. One of the stats Mitch Holtis pointed out was they've given up the most points on the first drive of the game than anybody in the NFL. So they start off slow. And to me, with our offense, if we can drive the field, score points, we're at home, keep the fans engaged, Sunday night football, we can force, and we've seen this, we force other quarterbacks to feel like they need to get into a shootout with Patrick Mahomes, whether they are, that's in their DNA or not. And even though Teddy Bridgewater has been in this league for 8 years, you can't help but look to the other side of the field and recognize that there's greatness on that side wearing number 15, and you need to go shot for shot with them, especially if they're moving the ball down the field. So I think it's imperative that we score early, quickly. We let them know that this is not what they thought they saw in regards to the first 6 or 8 weeks, that we are a different team right now. I also believe that, you know, we have the advantage of winning 11 straight games against this so-called rival. Mm. There is not, I believe there's only one guy on this roster that played for the Denver Broncos that had won a game against the Chiefs. The last time they beat the Chiefs, they have a quarterback that's already been enshrined into the Hall of Fame. That's how long it's been since they've had success against the Chiefs. I feel like that's a factor. So as a player, we always said, I always said, at Arrowhead with the 12th man and that energy, I felt like when we came out of the locker room for kickoff, we were already up 7-0. We already had that energy. We already had that spark. And to me, when you have this kind of winning efficiency against another team, especially a so-called rival, we're not up 7-0. We're up 10-0.
Yeah.
And now we just got to figure out how to pile on and get them outside their game. I kind of expect, I know you talked about it with CDOT, I think they're going to try to roll the dice and put Patrick Surtain Jr. against Travis Kelce. I think, you know, they'll try to mix things up to maybe confuse things or confuse Patrick or Brackett and try to lean on, okay, who's going to be the other guy that could hurt us? Is it going to be Mecole Hardman? Is it going to be Josh Gordon? Is it going to be D-Rob? Who else? Or is it going to be the run game? So we're going to have our hands full. Make no mistake about it. This is going to be a tough, tough game. But I like our Chiefs' chances at home. I like the fact that Andy Reid has an excellent record after extended weeks of preparation and bye weeks. And I don't see how that changes this week. Chiefs win these next three games, and we are in the bird seat of the AFC West, especially with the up-and-down play. We might find ourselves as a top seed or vying with it with the likes of the New England Patriots and possibly the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, Chiefs Kingdom, you know who we are. We going to do what we do. Players only going to bring it. We bring it real in your face. Unedited, and we ask you as fans do the same thing. Come and loud,
Barbershop,
proud.
Barbershop will be here on time next time. Julio.
I might.
We're out. Peace. Go Chiefs.
This is Players Only with Danan Hughes and Sean Barber. Thursday nights at 6 on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.